Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days."
You know, honey, over the years, this verse has been taught and is taught by those who teach on prosperity. Verse 1 is referenced many times as pertaining to sowing and reaping. So let's look at the three verses that follow.
Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2 through 4 states this, "Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. But if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap."
Now, there are many things that we could discuss from this text. But what we want to focus on today is how it relates to sowing and reaping. Verse 4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Interestingly enough, it's generally acknowledged that Solomon, King Solomon, wrote Ecclesiastes, and that he was talking about sowing and reaping. When we talk about sowing, well, reaping goes right along with it. Do you like to reap? You're never going to get the full benefits of reaping until you have the same joy of sowing that you do for reaping.
That's well said, honey.
Now, what we've just said to you is more profound than my knowledge. In fact, I'm going to say it again. You're never going to get the full benefits of reaping until you have the same joy for sowing that you do for reaping.
Notice that verse 2 says, "Give a portion to seven and also to eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." In other words, what's going to really happen with it?
Now, some people would take the text and say, well, you need to sow because you don't know what's going to happen. You know what's going to come up in your life. Also implying that some tragedy or calamity is coming your way. Actually, this scripture is not suggesting that. Notice it says that evil shall be upon the earth. Not you. The scripture is not suggesting the surprise of calamity, but rather the future provision for created by sowing prior to calamity. This is a very important distinction. We are to sow prior to calamity. King Solomon is encouraging us that at every opportunity, we need to get some seed in the ground. You sow here, you sow there. You give here and you give there. And then when something happens around you, maybe you lose your job. Maybe hours are cut back. Calamity may come. But if you have seed in the ground, you don't have to worry. You just might step up and say something like this. "All right, Lord, I've given a portion to seven and to eight. So even though it looks like it's everything going on around me is not good, Lord, I'm going to trust you and your word. If I sow, I'm going to reap. If I plant some seed, I'm going to have a harvest. So I place a demand on my harvest right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for provision. I thank you for opening doors for me. I thank you for supplying my every need." Hallelujah.
You know, let's read also Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 4 in the Living Bible, which is very, I think, kind of opens it up to it.
It does.
And this is the way it says, "Give generously, for your gifts will return to you later. Divide your gifts among many, for the days ahead you yourself may need much help. When the clouds are heavy, the rain comes down. When a tree falls, whether south or north, the die is cast, for there it lies. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done." In other words, time to sow, because you don't know what your reaping is going to,
that's right,
you know, provide. These verses seem to create a sense of urgency for us in our giving. Sometimes we may not necessarily know what's coming up, but King Solomon is communicating that we don't necessarily have to know what's coming up if we take the opportunities that are presented to us in the present. You don't have to be concerned about the future if you take advantage of the opportunities we have right now.
Wow.
What we sow determines what
yes,
we reap.
Yes, it does.
In 2 Corinthians 9:6, also the Living Bible, it says, remember this, if you give a little, you get a little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop, but if he plants much, he will reap much. The size of our seed determines the strength of our harvest.
Wow.
In other words, we will determine our harvest size on the day when we plant our seed. Before we sow, we need to decide if we want our increase to be bountiful or just a little. If you get it on your heart to do what God has told you to do and give big in a situation, sometimes he's going to put it on your heart and you go, well, you don't have to be concerned because you're giving substantially. God's going to bless you substantially because he knows that's what's coming up. You're going to need it. If you have a big seed, then you're going to get a big harvest. Galatians 6:7 in the Classic Amplified explains it perfectly. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap.
I love that scripture. It's amazing.
It is.
You know, when we talk about the concept of giving, it's more or less talking about the opportunities that the Lord puts on our hearts. There are times when no offerings are suggested, but internally, something prompted us to give spontaneously. Spontaneously. Hmm. We need to teach spontaneous giving sometimes. These people that the Lord showed how to give substantial gifts, many of them did it spontaneously. Hallelujah. Think about that. Wow. We need to understand. We need to get down inside of us what I'm about to say next. In fact, I encourage you to write it down and it'll bless you. Because substantial gifts bring substantial results. We know that something is certainly biblical because the Bible says if we sow much, we'll reap much.
In 2 Corinthians 9:6 in the Living Bible, it says, remember this, if you give little, you get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop, but if he plants much, he will reap much.
The size of our seed determines the strength of our harvest. Let me say that again. The size of our seed determines the strength of our harvest. In other words, we'll determine our harvest size on the day we plant our seed.
That's right.
Before we sow, we must decide if we want our increase to be bountiful or scant. If we get it on our heart to do what God has told us to do and give big in a situation, we don't have to be concerned. Because if we're giving substantially, God is going to bless us substantially. If you have a big seed, then you're going to get a big harvest.
Remember what it said in Galatians 6:7 in the Classic Amplified. We just read it. I'm going to read the last verse for you again because we need to get it down in our spirits. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. If we're sowing money, we're going to reap money. If you're sowing good smiles, you're going to reap smiles.
That's right.
I mean, it's whatever it is, and the size we do it with is what's going to be returned to us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's important that we recognize opportunities when they arise. This factor is often the difference between success and failure for a lot of people. It's also the difference between mediocrity and advancement.
And honey, you know, there's a story, I just am reminded, share real quick, about a young man who was in a service and the Lord prompted him to give $100. And he goes, Lord, I just, you know, he was very, you know, unhappy about that $100. He was very skittish about the Lord saying to him $100, but he had a 20. So he gave a 20. And he was no longer out in the parking lot when somebody came up to him and said, here's a $20 bill. And he rejoiced. He said, oh, the Lord told me to give 100 and I just gave 20. And look, I got my 20 back. But the man looked at him and said, and yes, and that's all you got. You know, when we obey God, he wants to bountifully bless us.
Yes, he does. Honey.
And he will do it if we obey the voice of the Lord at the opportunity he opens up to us.
That's exactly right. Here's the question. When we recognize and take the opportunities that God places before us to sow, you might say, well, what's an opportunity? According to Webster's Dictionary, it is a favorable juncture of circumstances.
That's when God speaks to you and you go, oh, you really do want me to sow that kind of money? And he doesn't look at what we don't have. He looks at what he wants to give us, you know, and what we do have, if we have the faith to put it out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Webster's also says that opportunity is a good chance for advancement or progress.
Amen. Now, we can see sometimes why people don't progress or advance, because they don't take the opportunities, take advantage of the opportunities, don't take advantage of the urging and the nudging from the Holy Spirit to give this or that. But you know, we praise God that you,
yes,
every person hearing our voice,
amen,
today, has a wisdom beyond your natural mind, that the Spirit of the living God flows through you, that you have the mind of Christ, that you have an ear to hear his voice, and a heart to receive his direction when it comes to sowing and reaping.
And when you, as Harold had said, when you can be as joyous in giving, then you'll be really joyous in receiving. Because the truth of the matter is when God, you have a directive of God to give, then it just fills my heart with joy, knowing that not only did we hear from God, but that that seed is like taking money to the bank.
It is.
It's coming back.
We'll read Ecclesiastes 11:4 one more time.
Okay. Ecclesiastes
and 11:4.
Yeah. In the Living Bible. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done.
Honey, that applies not only to sowing and reaping, but everything in life.
Yes, it is.
Taking advantage of the opportunities, moving outside our comfort zone.
When God says do it,
do it.
That's it.
That's it. Hallelujah. Well,
hey, tonight, it's going to be so good.
Sunday Night Live.
You just are not going to believe this.
I'm going to make you jump up and down and shout.
I know for a fact that's true.
So make sure you plan to join us tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Go to haroldherring.com, click the button that says join Harold and Bev Sunday night.
Yeah, I got a special message for you.
Yeah, you do, as a matter of fact.
So, tune in. We'll look forward to seeing you. Hallelujah.
And until tomorrow morning at 8:30, well,
tonight
at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Obviously.
Or tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.